The Green Bay Packers take on the Chicago Bears this Sunday, but will the Packers be without their starting guard duo of Josh Sitton and TJ Lang? Both players are dealing with injuries that are putting their playing status in question. We'll break it all down with Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snow, and along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game on Sunday against the Chicago Bears. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone.
Expert interview.
We have Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog joining us for his monthly engagement here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central, the first Friday of every month. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Always great to be on the line with you, Brian.
Very good. Glad you could join us. We have a lot to get to in the next half hour, so let's get to it. We know about the injuries to Josh Sitton and TJ Lang. They both apparently have torn ligaments, Sitton in his toe, Lang in his ankle. But Scott, in your opinion, do you think they will play on Sunday?
I'd be shocked if they didn't with the release of Sherrod. From simply a numbers standpoint, you know, I know we're going in with the same amount of people as we had the week before, with the addition of Treader to the active roster. But with the release of Sherrod, you just have to imagine that they're not going to be throwing Treader out there for his first snap in a crucial divisional game against our hated rival on prime time, and it is really a must-win game. I would be very, very surprised if both Lang and Sitton aren't taking snaps this Sunday.
You know, that's a very good point. I mean, they've known about these injuries for, you know, throughout the bye week and had, you know, if there was any question if these guys would have missed, I mean, they could have at least waited to cut Derek Sherrod for a week if they knew that they might need some sort of veteran guy to play. That's a very good point that must indicate these guys are close to returning. Scott, let me pose this question to you. Is this the smart thing to play them on Sunday? And we can kind of extend this discussion to Aaron Rodgers in the Packers' last game against the Saints where he suffers the hamstring injury, but the Packers keep him in the game. Is it the wise thing to do to play these guys?
I absolutely believe so. And I know that there's a risk-reward, but there's some beauty found in risk, but, you know, in life by taking risks. And, I don't think you can play with fear right now. This team reminds me a lot of the 2003 Packers team, where when this offensive line is healthy, there's no reason to think that they can't finish the year super. With that being said, if there's an injury on the offensive line, we're a very, very mediocre football team. I believe that you got to go in and you have to go take out your rival this weekend. You have to win this game and understand that there's a circumstance that could occur in which either Lang or Sitton gets an increased injury and then they might be missing 2 or 3 weeks. But you can't play with fear when you're playing the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field under the lights. So I'd absolutely have both Lang and Sitton, if they're able, to get out there and take snaps.
Now, this is a Packers offensive line that's facing a Bears team that was dealing with their own injury issues during that first meeting back in September. They didn't have Jared Allen. They didn't have Jeremiah Ratliff that day. But those guys should play this Sunday. What is your level of concern about this Packers offensive line facing those guys if, by chance, I mean, it's certainly not 100% these guys are going to play, but I mean, if Sin and Lang don't play, I mean, what's your concern level with them facing a a healthy Bears defensive line.
Without Lang and without Sitton, I'm concerned against most defensive lines in the NFL, to be frank.
True.
With Lang and Sitton, I think we can play against anybody. With that being said, you know, I will say that I'm very, very confused, I guess would be the word, as to what's going on with the Chicago Bears defense. You look at their players man-to-man, and, you know, not to turn this into a Bears conversation, but that's who we're battling this week. But man-to-man across their defense, boy, they have some talented names there. Ratliff and Allen especially, but Willie Young is he's been terrific this year for them. Stephen Pierre is a good player. They have the Ferguson and Sutton, the two early to mid-round draft picks on the defensive line. They should have a solid rotation there, and I know Houston's done for the year for his silly antics, celebrating a sack down 30 points or whatever it was in the fourth quarter late in the game. But, you know, Briggs can still play football. They've got the Fuller on the outside at corner, and, you know, Tim Jennings, unless his game is completely just decimated over the last year, I don't understand why the Bears are they've been so putrid. They've got holes at safety, and I really think that if they're truly healthy, like it sounds like they are, and if we're not going to be healthy, their front four against our front five, you know, at the line of scrimmage is I mean, that could be scary, especially when you look at the first game that took place at Soldier Field, where, you know, Rodgers left the game with a real clean jersey. He was barely touched that game. So, you know, that I think there is definite cause for concern if there are injury issues on the offensive line, especially with what appears to be a fairly decent, at least from a player's perspective, defensive line for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I kind of alluded to this earlier, and we've kind of broken down the offensive line quite a bit here. But getting back to this Aaron Rodgers thing, do you have any worries at all that this hamstring is going to linger? I mean, the last game we saw, he was out there, you know, limping his way through the second half of the game, didn't have the mobility. You know, it appeared minor at the time, nothing, you know, like his hamstring was torn or anything like that. But, I mean, is this going to be somewhere it's going to be every week he's going to be limited mobility?
Possibly, but I'm not worried. This could potentially be a trademark season for Aaron Rodgers, where he's fighting through injuries in putting the Packers on his back. And, you know, seasons are changing at Lambeau Field and throughout the Midwest, and the majority of our games from here on out are going to be in cold weather. So we become, I think, less dependent on Rodgers' legs and more dependent on Eddie Lacy and Starks and potentially Harris as well. I still haven't given up hope that at some point DeJuan Harris is going to make an impact this year. But, you know, I think we become the offense changes just a bit as the weather changes as well. And we turn more to mutter, to slippery, sloppy football in grinded out fashion, which if Lang, and going back to the offensive line, if Lang and Sitton and Lindsley and Bakhtiari and Bulaga are all healthy, you stick Lacy right behind them and you're putting them straight ahead. I like our chances against most anybody. So, because of the way I think the offense genuinely or generally involves as the season goes along, I'm less concerned about Rodgers' injury, and the bye week came at the right time.
We're talking to Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Scott, let's turn our attention to the defensive side of the football. The last time around the Packers faced these guys, the Chicago Bears, the Packers they gave up a season-high 235 rushing yards. Now, this has been a season-long problem. The Packers ranked dead last in the NFL in rush defense. Are they going to turn things around?
Tough to project that with the inside linebacker play that we're getting right now. And, you know, I even put it on Twitter at one point that I'd be interested to see the Packers make a sh it's a copycat league, to make a shift towards what the Arizona Cardinals are doing with a guy that you and I loved before the NFL draft, Danny Buchanan. And we saw Sean Richardson play very limited action and mop-up duty against the Carolina Panthers, but man, you couldn't help but get excited after you saw him run around and just hit people right in the mouth and play with intensity. And he had a great zest to his game. And with that being said, I'd love to see him even get an opportunity to play maybe some at an inside linebacker position. I know we get a lot smaller there, but I think he might bring more physicality than we're seeing out of people that have played inside linebacker. And one of the things that I was sort of chewing on, this morning is the last time you and I were doing this together a month ago, Brian, was the day after we were so stoked when the Packers just stuck it to the Vikings, and we were going on and on as to how well we tackled. And then immediately after that, we saw Lattimore get hurt and Brad Jones whiffing against Lamar Miller in the open field. And then we played Carolina, who forgot to show up. And then we go and we play New Orleans, and Mark Ingram, yes, Mark Ingram, gashes us for almost 200 yards. So it's and it was just missed tackle after missed tackle, and Ingram just carrying us. So there's significant reason to be concerned there. I will say that I do believe with the changing of the season, that may cause hope for our defense to we aren't fleet of foot at linebacker. But we can stand you up a little bit. So hopefully, as the speed of the game changes just a little bit, our inside linebacking play will potentially improve as well. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but that's definitely a thought that I'm carrying.
It's funny because you bring back that Vikings game. I still can't get over, like, they look so, motivated that game and just were hitting hard. And that was like the only game this season we saw that. I mean, I just it was like a switch was flipped. I just don't get why they can't play like that more often. I don't know, maybe here a home game, Lambeau Field, Sunday night, prime time, national television. Maybe we'll see that again. Maybe that's what it takes for this team to get up for a game. I hope that's not the case, because not every game is going to be at home or on national TV or a division rival. But anyway, Scott, if just hang on with me for a second here. I have head coach Mike McCarthy, a clip from him commenting on the inside linebacker situation just yesterday in his press conference, and we'll get his thoughts on the situation.
Well, AJ's clearly played the most. I mean, AJ's play time, and he's been, our most consistent player in there, and his command is excellent. So, but as far as the opportunities for the other guys, I mean, we're still working those guys, and because I do want to stay the course of playing as many different combinations as we possibly can, because I just feel we're a better defense when we play more players.
Okay, Scott. So, all that being said, let's assume no drastic changes are being made and Sean Richardson's playing inside linebacker anytime soon. I agree. I'd probably like to see that. I don't see a midseason change coming. If the Packers stay status quo, who is your inside linebackers for the Packers? What's your best case scenario with what they do and who they line up out there?
I still believe it's Lattimore and it's AJ Hawk, and Hawk because he's just been a leader in the defense. He's clearly a respected guy inside the locker room, and they kind of call him a quarterback of the defense to a degree, making sure that people are organized. He may not come with a ton of big play potential, but he's been a steady Eddie for us, and I don't think he's a guy that you can make a change with. And Lattimore has been extremely inconsistent, but I do think Lattimore offers the most upside with regards to forcing turnovers. And this defense's foundation is still surrounded on its ability to turn the ball over. And we have players that can make immediate impacts in games and swing the momentum at a game in a quick switch. And with that said, I think Lattimore offers the most upside of all the options at inside linebacker. And he would be the guy that I would be playing more often than not. And you know, I will say this as well. You know, he was one of those guys against the Vikings that just looked tremendous. And the next week against Miami, got off to a slow start largely on the special teams play. But then additionally, he got hurt, and you know, we haven't seen him in full action since. Really, he's been playing with that brace around his neck or that pad on his neck, and I'd just be curious if maybe he was limited in mobility or not as willing to see contact because of it, or where he's at. But I think if you're going to compare him and Jones and Barrington, I think Lattimore definitely offers the most upside.
You stole my thunder, because I was going to say the exact same thing. I think Jamari Lattimore is the most athletic of any inside linebacker they had, and I realize he was kind of dealing with injury there for a while a few weeks ago, and maybe that's part of what impacted his play. But, I mean, hopefully he's back to 100% after the bye. I'm glad the Packers have moved on, apparently, from Brad Jones. It's fine if he's a backup, but, you know, relying on him out there as a starter, he just doesn't seem to have it, except maybe as a blitzer. If he were to play two snaps a game in some exotic psycho package, that would be fine by me. But barring that, I think Sam Barrington, I guess, has played okay as a young player, but he hasn't been anything special. And I think Jamari Lattimore, too, provides the most upside. In the secondary, Scott, Sam Shields and Morgan Burnett appear to be back this week after missing the Saints game due to injury. How much will having a healthy secondary help them against defending guys like Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, and company?
It's mandatory. Those guys are matchup nightmares for us, and especially Bennett. You know, Bennett is a guy that I really thought that Micah Hyde would be able to, you know, not completely shut him down, but I thought he'd slow him down. And I think we saw in the first option, the first game, what that looked like. It was, Bennett was just completely dominant. But we've seen Shields line up against, Alshon Jeffrey, through the years, and he's looked very, very good. We've seen him go against Brandon Marshall and look very good. Shields has sort of had Cutler's number. He's the guy that, he had the last play of the game last year in the fourth and eighth victory. Forgotten play often, but you got to play to the final whistle. Shields had the interception, had a big interception again this year. You look at the trump card game where the Halas Trophy was residing in the visitors' locker room at Soldier Field. I know Cutler was out that day, but Shields was tremendous. He had two interceptions, including the game-clinching interception. So he's a guy that has really had a great career against the Bears. And I think it's beyond crucial for Shields to be playing this week. Burnett has been much better this year, and I've been often critical of Morgan Burnett. Morgan Burnett has been much better this year, and I think we saw against New Orleans that he does have a place on the roster this year. There's no doubt about it, and he's been an impactful player for our defense, and been a more sure tackler than he has been in past years. Still looking for a high-profile, high-performance type interception, game-changing play, but maybe that comes with Jay Cutler playing, whipping the ball around in fuzzy conditions this weekend.
You bring up a good point, and something I haven't really sat down to look at, in depth. But you're so right about Sam Shields having good games against the Bears. Maybe I got to go back and look at ProFootballFocus.com and kind of look to see how he's done against games specifically against the Bears, because it seems like he's always the guy picking off Jay Cutler, dating all the way back to the NFC Championship game there in the 2010 season, but just earlier this year with the interception too. And maybe that's a big reason Jay Cutler doesn't play well against the Packers. Scott, with the time that we have left, what I want to do is go back through to the offensive line here and throw it a little hypothetical here. Let's pretend, and I realize this, is premature, but you know, the Packers are facing a situation with Lang and Sitton here in their health, and they may or may not play. Let's pretend they are not playing. They are not healthy. They're inactive. Whatever the case may be, or they suffer an injury in game. What is the interior of the offensive line look like left to right? If you're the coach and you gotta somehow come up with some backups to play in this game,
I'd have Treader at left guard. I'd have Lindsley at center and Lane Taylor at right guard. And on fourth and one, I would not call a run to the right side of the field. But especially on a crucial play in the, you know, mid to late third quarter. But, you know, that's just my opinion. What would you do, Brian?
See, I bring this up because I seem to be in the minority. But here's my lineup and my line of thinking, which I appear to be the only one in the world with this opinion. People think I'm crazy when I throw this out on Twitter or I talk about it. My lineup, it would be Corey Linsley at left guard. And I realize you're asking a rookie to like change positions mid season, and I would have Treader at center. But to me, what is the difference between J.C. Treader and Corey Linsley? J.C. Treader is practically a rookie. Why not play him at center, where he looked fine during the preseason? Apparently, he's back to, you know, full strength, according to Mike McCarthy. And have Linsley, the guy who has the stronger upper body and appears to be, you know, a guy who can maul with people at guard. I guess you have Lane Taylor at right guard by default, just because there's nobody else to turn to. But I mean, what do you think of that situation? That's my thinking, my minority opinion.
Here's where I go with this. First and foremost, there's great camaraderie, it appears anyways, between Rodgers and Linsley. I don't want to mess with that. You know, there's too much can happen. They haven't taken an exchange from center in, you know, what is it now, 8 or 9 weeks?
Yeah.
Too much can happen there. Additionally, I always turn back to, because I, you know, frankly, that has crossed my mind previously as well. But I will say, you know, when you look at past years when they've messed with Lang and moved Lang from guard all the way out to tackle, and then, you know, sometimes you knew what you had in Lang at guard, and Lang is, he's just a stud, and then you move him to tackle and he's still a good player, but now he's no longer a potential Pro Bowl player, and now you got a guy that's a mediocre tackle, and all of a sudden at guard you got a mediocre player there as well. And I'm not saying that that's the case with Treader at center, but we don't know what we're going to have with Linsley at guard. And I think Treader has offered throughout, you know, his past performances, at least from what you read about him in college, he's offered more versatility at being able to play a wide variety of positions. And I think he was brought in with the vision that he would be a swing player for us along the offensive line. I think this is also a good time for us to give a shout out to Donnie Barclay and to say that we hope that his recovery is going well and that we wish him well, because he's certainly missed at a time like this. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, that would be my take on that.
Yeah, the Packers could use Don Barclay right about now. Scary to think that if Sitton and Lang weren't to play, the Packers only have 6 offensive linemen. Other than him, they'd have to go into a game with Garth Gerhardt as your only backup offensive lineman. Although, kind of just breaking news yesterday, apparently Kevin Dorsey has suffered a perhaps season-ending injury. You have to wonder if Jeremy Vujinovic is the next guy coming off the practice squad just because of depth issues on the offensive line. Scott, I know you got to go here. Can I get a prediction, like an official score prediction, or before you take off?
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. They really, 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 really suck. Oh, the Bears still suck. You know, prediction, I would go Green Bay 30, Chicago 20, and it's going to be a great day at Lambeau Field. And I guess to close, Brian, I know we'll be talking in a month here, when we look back at the 2014 season, we're going to look at the month of November as the turning point for beyond crucial games. And the Packers have to go 3-1. We have to go 3-1 in the next four games if we want to have any chance at winning the division and or having a first-round bye. The NFC is wide open, and I think this year the AFC is a class ahead of the NFC. If you look at the top of the table, I think Pittsburgh and New England and Denver are all playing just terrific football right now. In some ways, this may not be something that people want to hear on this on Cheesehead TV, Railbird Central. But, I think Roethlisberger right now, he looks like Favre did in the early 2000s, man. It just looks like he looks so good. But, I think the NFC is wide open. And there's holes in the game of the 49ers in Seattle. Foles has an injury. Romo, we don't know what his status is. Arizona looks great, but I would take the Green Bay Packers outscoring Aaron Rodgers outscoring Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals any day of the week. But I really think that the month of November is going to define the season for the Green Bay Packers. And it'll be interesting to jump on with you in a month and to see how the month of November treated us.
Yeah, with three out of the next four games at home, I think the Packers can do it too, which the schedule is set up very nicely that way for them. Able to survive that, terrible opening to the season against some tough teams. Packers are sitting in a good spot right now. Scott, I know you got to go. Thanks for joining me. We'll talk again next month.
Cheers, Brian.
Take care. Scott McKenna, the Talkin' Smack blog, join us every the first Friday of every month here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central as we break down this upcoming Packers-Bears game. And what I have for you now...
The day ahead.
Today in the world of the Green Bay Packers, and I'll have my prediction here in a moment for you. What we're waiting for on a Friday is the Packers' final injury report of the week, waiting to see what happens with Josh Sinn and TJ Lang. Word from Mike McCarthy in his Thursday press conference is they will put these two guys through a workout, test the progress of their rehab on Friday, and we'll kind of find out a little bit more when the official injury report comes out. Because Friday's the day where they give the game day projections. They'll list them as out, doubtful, questionable, or probable. And maybe we'll have a better idea then if they'll play or not. Although I'm probably expecting that both those guys will be listed as questionable, which is like the 50-50 proposition of if they'll play or not. And maybe we really, you're back to square one wondering if they'll play. But that's what's on tap today. The Packers don't have a full-fledged practice on Friday. They never do. They now save their last practice of the week until Saturday. So it's kind of an estimation a little bit, their day's injury report. So, but that's the obvious, dominating storyline of the week in Green Bay, where you have not just one, but both starting guards kind of up in the air. So waiting to see what happens there. My prediction, the prediction for the Bears game, and again, I always leak it on my weekly appearances on K107, if you happen to listen to those before I come on Railbird Central. But anyway, I see this game playing out 31-20 Packers. But the way I see this happening is maybe the Packers don't get that last touchdown until late in the fourth quarter. So maybe this game is like 24-20, heading into late in the fourth quarter, and it is a close game by then. And only with a late touchdown do they go up by 11. So, beating a team like the Bears by 11 points seems like, you beat them by more than double digits. It's can be deceiving, I think. But I just think the Bears are healthier this game than they were the first time around. this is kind of like their last moment to get back into things. You know, if the Bears, they got a 3-5 record. If they were to win this game, you know, that would be a huge, huge moment for them. You know, going into Lambeau Field, winning on the road, that would bring them all sorts of momentum. So I think they'll be up for this game. Whereas if they lose this game, boy, I mean, stick a fork in the Bears for the rest of the season. And people could probably argue that already. But I just think, you know, the opportunity is there for the Bears to, you know, change their season around and start feeling good about themselves, which is why I think they'll be competitive this game. So I think they'll be ready to duke it out. Obviously, the Packers offensive line situation scares me. I worry about the Packers run game and getting Eddie Lacy going if Lang and Sitton can't play. On the other side of the ball, the flip side, the Bears defensive line, scares me from, or pardon me, the Packers, you know, defensive front scares me that they won't be able to stop the Bears rushing attack and Matt Forte like they couldn't earlier in the year. So it's kind of like the running games. I expect the Packers to do poorly. I expect the Bears to do well. But the one constant between that hasn't changed from the first meeting to the second meeting, hasn't changed in years, is, you know, the bread and butter of the Packers, Aaron Rodgers versus Jay Cutler. It's been a one-sided competition between the two, with Aaron Rodgers basically always coming out on top and Dom Capers always getting the better of Jay Cutler. Almost always throwing multiple, you know, having multiple turnovers. Jay Cutler is just an enigma, and I don't expect that to change. I think with this healthy Packers secondary, these guys are going to force Jay Cutler into turnovers again. I mean, why would I not expect that to happen? It's happened practically every game the Packers and the Bears face off, whereas I expect Aaron Rodgers to, at least, if nothing else, not turn the football over. So Aaron Rodgers is going to get an extra possession or two, and that'll be the difference in the game. You know, like I said, it might come down to the very last drive in the fourth quarter, but I expect the Packers to put it away at some point and come away victorious and get back on the winning track after going into the bye on a loss. So there you go, 31-20 Packers this upcoming Sunday. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much, folks, for joining us on the show today. Thank you to Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog for joining us here on the show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game. We'll be back on Monday. On behalf of Jamie Snow and Alex Talich, I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today with a song called Bali Monster by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Bali.